Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Build Ford Tough studio.
Oh, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, but I just got to tell you about this letter that I got from the AD from the University of Maryland. You know, Damon Evans, he's doing a good job and doing everything that they possibly can to build up both their basketball, football programs, their women's basketball programs, and all the other sports that do really well. They just don't make a lot of money. So he sent out an email, and I'm sure every AD of every school sent out the same email. It seems like it was something that was to give you an updated understanding as to what is happening in college sports right now. And it basically said that there was a lawsuit that was finally finalized and agreed upon. And I think all schools have about $21 million in nil name, image, and likeness money that they can share with their student athletes.
Yep.
Okay, is that the amount of money? Are you looking at it right now?
$21.5 million.
$21.5 million that every school can now spend on athletes. And then later on in the letter it says, but we'd still love you to support Maryland Athletics and the, you know, the scholarship programs and everything else. I'm like, screw that. you got $21.5 million. I love you, man. I love the school. I love my time there. I want reparations, number one. But no, really, in all honesty, I'm like, so this is where college sports is headed, and it's finally landed on a number that every school can now share with their athletes. And good for the athletes, but, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not giving another dollar to the school. I mean, I love the school, love the memories there, love all my teammates and coaches that I played under there. But I just got to say, how can you even think about giving another dollar to a school that's probably sitting on an endowment? Who knows how big that is?
Well, if somebody feels like the money that they're contributing, and they've got money to burn, money that they're contributing can lead to wins for their team that they're obsessed with, at their alma mater, they will do that. Now, I'm with you. It's a tough thing to give more money in that situation. You're someone who played there, had a ton of success there. But there are people out there that are wealthy and love the fact that they can help with their dollars.
I know that. And I have friends that fall into that category.
Yeah.
You know, and I've tried to do my part and tried to put as much promotion behind the University of Maryland, the Under Armour relationship, everything else. But when I got that email, I didn't know whether or not I should be insulted by it or I should have been happy that Maryland's now going to be able to spend $21.5 million in their athletes like everybody else is.
I mean, it is just...
It is insane.
It's gotten to that point.
And when you think about it, because, you know, now these kids have to decide whether or not to go into the transfer portal. Do they declare for their, you know, their pro intentions? Do they go for, like Quinn Ewers right now is probably the biggest question mark out there. He's the quarterback for Texas. And what does he do now? Does he declare for the draft? Or does he go to another school and take some nil money that's going to be probably pretty significant?
Yeah, if I'm him, I do not come out this year.
I go to Oregon. If Oregon wants me and they want to give me $1 million or $2 million, whatever the number is for him to transfer because Arch Manning's going to be taking over in Texas,
sure.
I do that and I go have another year in college football, and then maybe next year because of my performance and because of my age and maturity, kind of like Bo Nix. Now, all of a sudden, I'm 24 years old, and Bo's going to be 25 here in February. So that's a 24 to 25-year-old quarterback as opposed to a 20-year-old quarterback. So go make more money and go play for another team, and then maybe next year you're going to be a first-round draft choice as opposed to maybe falling out of the first round or being a late first-round draft choice in this upcoming draft.
Speaking of these college football quarterbacks in the draft, Deion Sanders was on the Tamron Hall show on Friday after our show. And he said something that we had all speculated about and assumed that was going to happen. He said that, quote, there's a couple teams that I won't allow him to play for.
All right, there you go. So
it came right out and said it.
Well, he finally said it. I mean, like, and this is something you and I have been talking about for a month, at least a month. Here's why I think he said it.
The Browns.
Well, the Titans and the Browns. And, I think Shador wants to play with Malik Nabers and the Giants, which is going to put the Giants in a very weird situation because, again, I'm just going to say it. The kid is a first-round draft pick, but he's not a top-10 pick. You know, and I would just say is that the one thing he has that Patrick Mahomes had is the expectations to be great at the next level because of his father's history and for what he's been around his entire life. So I can't take away that from the young man. But he's just not an explosive player, you know, like we see at the top of the draft most of the times when you say, okay, this is a can't-miss guy. He's lacking in certain areas, but that doesn't mean he can't be a successful, you know, starting quarterback in the NFL. But it is legitimate to be able to say that he doesn't want him going either to the Titans or the Browns. And his son, I think, is settled on the Giants. Like, his son wants to come to the Giants to play with Malik Nabers.
So you really think that the Titans is a place that he's just not going to consider? I mean, the Titans have had success in their history.
I think the Titans probably take Cam Ward, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, then that leaves the Browns. It's just don't even try.
And nobody wants to go there, I can tell you that.
Right. So Tamron Hall said, have you told him privately who you would like him to play for? And Deion said, it's not like that. It's not like who I would like him to play for. It's a couple of teams that I won't allow him to play for.
I would just tell you this. Here's Deion's dream scenario. Is to be the head coach of the Raiders and the Raiders draft Shador Sanders. That's the dream scenario. That's everything that Deion would want and Deion would hope for. And great for him. Listen, if I could manipulate that for my son, who was a top draft choice,
yeah,
God damn, I would be doing the same thing. I was telling, you know, Phil and I did an appearance together last night.
Oh, really?
In New York City, and we were talking about this. You know, and Phil had two boys that were, you know, great quarterbacks and went on to play quarterback at high levels. I said, you know, could you imagine if you could manipulate the system where you could become the coach of your son as the quarterback of a professional football team?
Yeah, it seems like the Raiders are not interested in hiring Deion as the head coach, though. That is, reports out there say exactly that. He has expressed interest in the job, and the Raiders are not interested in him having the job.
I'm just telling you, that would be the dream scenario for, I think, Deion himself. But I think, to me, it sounds like Shador wants to play with the Giants. You know, why else would he wear Giant cleats?
And throw the ball with Malik Nabers and have that out there on social media and everything else. I mean, it seems like that. You know, him coming to New York. I'm warming up to the idea. Because one thing I think you're going to get from him is he's going to be totally committed. And that's the first thing. You always say these GMs, the phrase that they love these days is, does he love ball? Is he committed to it? I just don't think that Deion is going to raise a son who's going to show up to the NFL and just mail it in. I mean, this guy knows and it's been drilled into his head since he was a toddler that if you want to be great, you got to put the work in. You can't just show up. So I know for a fact he's going to work hard. And if we are to believe that Brian Daboll is someone who can make a quarterback better.
But this kid, just so you know, this kid is not Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, he's not saying he is.
He's not even Drake May, and he's certainly not, C.J. Stroud or any of these other guys that have had, you know, great starts to their career. Caleb Williams still seems to be everybody's, like, this kid can do so much, and they didn't get it out of him for some reason. So that's why that coaching hire is so important in Chicago, because everybody that I have talked to about Caleb Williams and his performance this year says there are probably about 10 different throws that he has made throughout the season that are wow throws that, like, just blew everybody away, which everybody expected to see. And just because, you know, he's probably a little bit immature, and he's just not there yet, that the next coach that they hire in Chicago, it's all about getting the most out of Caleb Williams. That's why I think, like, guys like Cliff Kingsbury, you know, and Ben Johnson both have very good shots at that job if they want it. But I don't necessarily know that Ben is going to want to stay in the NFC North just simply because of his loyalties to a guy like Dan Campbell.
Yeah, that's what I kind of felt too, just because Ben Johnson seems like that type of guy that is going to think about those things. He's been with Dan Campbell for a long time. He turned down jobs this past offseason because he said he had unfinished business with the Lions. I definitely think that plays a part into his decision-making. Now, I don't think it's 100% that he wouldn't go to the Bears because of that. But I do think that plays into his decision-making. And, you know, as far as now with the Raiders job open, you know, the GM job open there as well. Now you got three general manager jobs open. And
that Raiders job could be his because, according to other reports, that Tom Brady is lobbying heavily for Ben Johnson. So if that's the case and they cleaned out the GM and everything else, Ben may be able to get what he wants from the Raiders.
Yeah, but he does not have a quarterback there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're starting fresh, man. You're starting from scratch.
But isn't that that's a huge part of this situation.
You go to
the Bears, you got Caleb Williams. I mean, if people still believe in Trevor Lawrence down at Jacksonville, you got that.
Yeah, but you also have Trent Baalke right now down in Jacksonville and Ryan Poles still in Chicago. I think Ryan Poles did a great job with this team. He's just got to find the right coach. And I think he's been around long enough, been around enough winning people to know who, you know, he would like to try to unlock Caleb Williams. But I could see Ben Johnson going down to Jacksonville and convincing Shad Khan, I'm not working with Trent Baalke. And if that's the case, then he's going to bring his guy with him. And Shad Khan even said, if somebody can give me a better, you know, answer than Trent Baalke, then I'll consider it. But at the moment, there isn't.
You see those kids that convinced Caleb Williams that they were Ben Johnson and then ended up FaceTiming him and pranking him? I mean, that is just, I got to give him credit for being able to pull that whole thing off, but if I'm Caleb Williams, I am pissed about that. You know, because you look foolish. You look gullible.
Oh, naive.
Yeah, I mean, all of it. By the way, speaking of the word gullible, so I'm listening to BT and Sal, I think it was Thursday when I'm driving home, and Hoff, the producer, Big Tongue Hoff, he called Brandon Tierney gullible.
He did.
BT did not like that.
Uh-oh.
Did not like that. And it was like real life anger that was coming at a BT's like, no one ever in my life has called me gullible, but you gullible.
Fuck you.
I was like, whoa. So I went to Hoff. I said, hey, he was really angry, wasn't he? He goes, yeah, he was. He was pissed off at me for calling him gullible.
You know, I just think Big Tongue likes to do that to get under the skin of those guys.
Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah, he's an instigator. He's someone who wants to, you know, fire his guys up. And sometimes it works well, and sometimes it doesn't.
Take it up your ass!
Oh, man. Let's go to Ron, who's in Tom's River. What's up, Ron? Good morning.
Okay, let me preface by saying I'm a Giants fan, and seeing everybody win and us lose, I'm kind of angry just calling about this. But I have to call Boomer out on something. C.J. Stroud in college was never thought to be this good in the NFL. So how can you base C.J. Stroud or any of these newer quarterbacks, a quarterback who has never even played the game yet? I just want facts of why you think so, besides Deion Sanders being the father of Shador Sanders. And, like, I just want your thought process, because to me, until quarterbacks, and Boomer, I know you're a quarterback, face live bullets, you don't know how these quarterbacks are. Like Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, everyone's on his jock strap now, and we don't even see the kid play from SEC. So I just want a little bit more elaboration.
All right, well, I'll elaborate for you. I compared him to Patrick Mahomes and the fact that he has lived a life around being expected to be great, or being around older athletes, being around the NFL, being around Deion's teammates, going to Deion's game. I mean, things like that impact these kids. And Patrick Mahomes was like, you know, I don't know how many times you have to say this. He was shagging fly balls at 5 years of age on a Major League Baseball diamond, for God's sake. So, you know, these kids are already exposed, you know, because of what their fathers did. And, you know, Deion has basically taken his son, Shador. He took him to that Jackson State. And now he took him to Colorado. And you've watched him flourish under the coaching of Deion and the expectations. And now Deion's getting himself involved again, saying most likely it's probably the Titans and the Browns because his son wants to go to the Giants. And, you know, are the Giants going to take him with the third overall pick? I would say that would be too high. But if they think somebody like the Raiders or somebody like that really wants him, I think they have to consider a trade. But I just believe inside of Shador Sanders, I've never met him, but being around all these kids whose dads played in the NFL or Major League Baseball that ultimately become the great athletes themselves do so in large part because they've been exposed to all of it.
Yeah, I think his question was, why do you think that he's not as good as Drake May, Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, all of those guys? I mean, I think that's really what he was asking. Because we haven't seen him in the NFL, and your opinion was that he wasn't going to be as good, but you're just basing it off of what you've seen so far from his collegiate career.
Yeah, I'm just saying that he is not nearly the explosive player that his dad was. And, you know, Cam Ward is an explosive player. Anthony Richardson's an explosive player. Joe Milton III up there in New England. Those are explosive players. Those are guys that run like, you know, they're 240, 250. They run 4-5 40s. You know, they could throw the ball 80 yards. They can run away from people. Now, does that, you know, all of that should make them a good quarterback. Really what it comes down to is heart and mind. Is their heart into it, and can their mind slow down when they're playing a game like Jaden Daniels?
Yes, who has been like that since the first game of the season. He has just been totally calm and in control.
And I would say Jaden Daniels did this in the, you know, did this in the SEC.
Sure.
You know, Colorado's schedule is not all that tough. And there's a lot of time, you know, when you watch Colorado games, and we watched them together, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of time that Shador had back there just sitting around, you know, surveying the field. There wasn't a lot of, like, you know, quick movements and things of that nature that, you know, you're looking for in an explosive athlete.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back with us. Looks like a nice day out there today, actually, considering what we've been dealing with. I think it's like going to be 43 degrees.
Hey, yesterday was very nice.
Maybe we should go play some Wolf or something.
Oh, you want to play a little Wolf game somewhere?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Did you get invited to play?
I did not. No. I did not get invited.
Oh, I didn't get the invite either.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I figured you'd be involved. I did hear that there were some guys playing.
Oh, okay.
I just got a text today. It said Wolf tomorrow. I'm like, I didn't think that was an invite. I just thought that was a... Like, hey, that's what we're doing because it's nice. I was like, yeah. So
you get Wolf tomorrow? Question mark.
No,
you just got Wolf tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's not. So you can't take that as an invite.
No. So then I wrote back. I said, yeah, it's going to be in the 40s. And then that was it. That the conversation ended. So that was not an invite.
I think maybe what ended up happening is whoever sent you Wolf tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you texted back to that person. That person probably thought maybe you were checking to see whether or not that was an invite.
Yeah, I was. I kind of, me writing back and saying, oh, it's going to be in the 40s. I was hoping to get the, if you want to join us. Never happened.
And never happened.
Never happened. That's okay.
Guy went dark on you. He ghosted you.
Yeah, definitely. It was a little bit of a ghost spot. A little bit of an evaporation spot. All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And also brought to you by the Progressive New York Boat Show. Visit nyboatshow.com. So last hour we heard the Commanders' call of the game-winning field goal last night as they beat the Bucs 23-20. Zane Gonzalez from 37 yards out. This hour, it's how it sounded in Tampa as their season ended.
The snap is down, the spot is down, the kick is airborne. It is... Right, it went through. My goodness.
When it hit the upright, we couldn't tell if it went in or not, but it did.
The Commanders have defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23-20.
And
that Buccaneers. The Buccaneers. I was talking over it.
Buccaneers.
There we go. Yeah, the great Gene Deckerhoff. Love that guy. He was, there was one point where him and Bill Hillgrove were the only two guys left that both were doing full-time college football and NFL football. Hillgrove was doing Pitt and the Steelers, and Deckerhoff was doing South Florida and the Tampa Bay
really?
Buccaneers. Yeah,
South Florida football. Did not know that.
Or Florida State? Yeah. Okay, sorry. Sorry about that. Florida State, South Florida. And the two of them, I remember because Pitt played Florida State. That's what it was. It was Labor Day that first year. I saw the two of them in the bathroom together. And I was waiting as they were occupying the two urinals, and I kept, like, very close to taking a picture of them, saying, look at these guys, living legends. But I didn't do it.
Living legends at the urinal.
I didn't do it.
No. Would have been some photo. Well, yeah. He doesn't have any football to do right now because his team is out. The Commanders advance with that 23-20 win. Here was De'Ami Brown. No surprise that we are winning games. He had one of the touchdown passes that was thrown by Jaden Daniels last night.
We believe in each other. And, you know, the brotherhood that we set, the culture that we set here, and, you know, we just want to go out there and be the best that we can be. And we believe in each other from the offense, defense, special teams.
All of them, and it's all coming together for them. Here was Daniels. So he had a big third down scramble for a first down, which allowed them to kill the rest of the clock and then kick the field goal as time expired. Here was Daniels on that play.
Cliff called my number, and I was like, well, essentially before I told him, like, hey, you know, you can put the ball in my hands. So he called my number, can't see miss, and, you know, the O-line did a great job of blocking.
Yeah, it looked like he could have been, you know, tackled for a loss, and he was able to get away, and then you get the field goal. Here was Todd Bowles on what happened on the Baker Mayfield fumble that was earlier in the quarter right after they had turned over the Commanders on downs and then gave it right back.
Got to see the tape, but I know we were supposed to run a jet sweep, and I don't know whether it was the handoff or after the handoff they got discombobulated. Can't give up field position like that and give them that kind of position.
He turned into seven and a big part of why he can get fired in the game.
No.
All right.
No.
I just remember, Jerry, didn't you say you were leaving that stadium and everybody was screaming
Couldn't
about
stand him.
Yeah,
thought he
yeah.
was way too conservative. All the fans.
That yeah, I think Baker Mayfield has kind of changed a lot of that. I kind of feel the energy that Baker brings to that team kind of overshadows the coach, if you will.
All right.
Why would you screw any of that stuff up? They had a good season. That's two good seasons in a row that they've had.
The answer to that would be that they almost blew it against the Saints, and then they lost the home playoff game, and they feel like maybe the coach is holding them back because he doesn't have a great history of being a good head coach, and maybe we could do better with this if we get someone else. Maybe an offensive guy.
Yeah, like who would that be?
Who would that be? I know the Jets just interviewed 73 guys.
Right.
So pick one of them.
Yeah.
Bobby Slowick?
I don't know enough about Bobby Slowick, to be honest with you, and their offense was pretty bad this year, so... No, I mean, they would have to go through the process just like everybody else, you know, to try to identify
that guy. And they lost their
guy.
Offensive coordinator this past year, and he's the head coach of the Panthers.
Maybe Josh McCown. Josh McCown down there. Wasn't he a buck, too?
He was a buck, yep.
Didn't the Jets interview him?
I think they did interview him.
Yeah. Okay. Josh McCown. The Eagles beat the Packers 22-10. Jalen Hurts threw four, only needed to throw for 131 yards, but he did have touchdowns to Dotson and Goddard. The Dotson one came right after the turnover on the opening kickoff. Saquon Barkley ran for 119. This was not the prettiest of games, but as Barkley says, who gives a crap?
We got to be our biggest critic, and that's what we're going to be, and we're going to see where we can improve on. But at the end of the day, you know, the opinions, that's for you guys. Only thing that really matters is how we win, whether we throw for 400 yards, we rush for 400 yards, we win the game 3-0.
Well, whatever. They didn't win 3-0, but you get his point. Here was Jalen Hurts.
He looked fast yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the entire year he's been shot out of a cannon.
Here was Hurts, this whole thing with A.J. Brown reading the book on the bench on the sideline as a thing. Here was Hurts' reaction.
I've never seen him read. I've seen the book in his hands. Everybody has a different thing and finds their flow in different ways. So that's how he chooses to do it.
There was no flow.
All right, let's go around the room. How do you find your flow?
How do I find my flow?
How do you find your flow?
With quiet in the morning. I need like to have silence, like driving in, just me and myself, then getting in the office. Quiet is how I find my flow.
Al, how do you find your flow?
Well, that's a good question.
still trying to find it.
Flow. Do you have flow?
I think I have flow sometimes.
Right.
I mean,
you come in Monday morning.
His flow's on a milk carton.
No, I think like when you come in on a Monday morning after the long weekend and a lot of things that are annoying you, I'm just trying to think, how do you get the flow to get it going?
Well, I compile those throughout the weekend and then I rank my things of annoyance and then
so that's
decide
your flow.
From
you find
there.
Your
yeah.
Flow. Yeah. Eddie, do you have flow?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How do you find it?
Just by sitting here, getting into the groove. And if I have a few little problems, that helps it, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, having a few problems here or there, you know, make things a little bit unsettled. And then you got to apply yourself to get through those problems.
That's correct.
Right?
Like this morning, we had a monitor issue. And then that just made all the other stuff automatic.
Yeah.
And I got into it.
It's like a smelling salt for you.
Correct.
Jerry, how do you find your flow?
I like to walk.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like walk around the office?
No, like at home,
okay.
Around the neighborhood or the park or whatever. Walk.
Okay. And you?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't have to find my flow. I always have flow.
You always have
flow. So I'm not worried about it.
You don't have to. You've never lost your flow?
No, I wake up in the morning ready to go.
Okay.
Let's go. We're going. We got to go 100 miles an hour. We got to go all in. No stopping. No checking things out. Let's roll.
Tell you what, I would like to have a little more consistent. The stream in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to the intermittent stopping.
Yeah, well, that flow.
Was terrible.
You already have that problem?
It's bad flow. Oh, sometimes, yeah. Not
you're
every
too
day.
Young to have that
not every
problem.
Day. No, I'm 50. I'm going to be 51. I'm not 20 anymore.
Wow.
So, not
yeah,
my
I
flow.
Mean, but yeah, I'm 63 and I'm not even remotely close
yeah,
to that
well,
problem.
Different bodies for different people, right?
Yeah, I mean, come on. We can't compare these things.
He's 51, I'm 63. I'm
you're also a world-class athlete.
Right, who doesn't
anymore,
poop in public.
What?
Who doesn't poop in public.
Yeah, I'm a poop-hauser. or whatever that German guy said.
Yeah, there was there's a word for it in German.
Really?
Yeah, men who only can poop in their own domicile.
We work with two of them. It's unbelievable.
It really is.
Funny. The Bills beat the Broncos 31-7. Josh Allen, 272 and a couple of touchdowns. Ran for 46 yards as well. Just one from Bo Nix. Odd day for him. First playoff start. Rookie. How things went.
It was kind of a strange game. We got in a good rhythm early. Got the ball immediately. Went down and scored. And then, you know, felt like the ball was, tough to get the rest of the time. But you know, it wasn't like we were giving up a lot of points and they were scoring a lot. It's just, for whatever reason, time of possession was, different today.
Yes, because you kept going three and out. That's kind of the way that works. 42 minutes to 18. And so the Bills advance. They will be at home for the Ravens on Sunday night at 6:30. Saturday night, the Steelers got buried by the Ravens. As we know, score not really indicative of the way that game went. This was the clip that you were talking about with George Pickens. The question was, have you at least seen in the last couple of seasons some growth?
Yeah, I seen signs of growth for sure. From past, you know, the first year I've been here, just way more growth for sure.
Does that make you optimistic going forward?
Nah.
And if you miss the question, the guy said, does that make you feel optimistic going forward? Nah.
Very funny.
Wow, he hates his quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the new one next year.
It seems like it.
I would get rid of him in a heartbeat.
By the way, did you see the report from Jonathan Jones on CBS?
Yes.
He's talking about the potential for the NFL to look at reseeding the way that they do the playoffs.
They should.
Yeah. And it'll happen next year. Just when.
Amon Ross St. Brown put that out there before the Viking game.
Yep. And then next year, the Vikings will win the division at like 9-8, not have a home game. And this year, they win 14 games. Like, so they.
That would be funny.
You know, I'll give you another example of this. So I think it was 2003 season. It was the last play of the game. The Vikings went to Arizona. All they had to do was win the game and win the division. And if they lost, the Packers were going to win the division. And it was Nathan Poole, the wide receiver for the Cardinals. It was the push out of bounds thing.
Oh, yes.
So he caught the ball in the air. They pushed him out of bounds, and then they called out a touchdown on the final play from Josh McCown to Nathan Poole. The next year, they changed the rule.
Yes.
So
I had a few of those things happen to me, too, in my career, by the way.
What a terrible rule.
I will say, I think it does make sense, because what we're talking about is that you have division winners who have worse records than the teams that are visiting them in the first round of the playoffs, because they're given the home field because they've won their division.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to take a look at reseeding everybody once the season is over and do it by how many wins a particular team has as opposed to winning the division.
Now, speaking of the Vikings, they play the Rams tonight in Arizona, but head coach Kevin O'Connell says, we're going to treat this like we're actually playing a road game in Los Angeles.
We're going in like we're the road team in a playoff game. You can always adjust the other way, you know, if that's the case, but I know their fans are very passionate about their team, and our fans travel well. We know that. We've seen that all season long.
Al told me this morning they sold 35,000 tickets or to 35,000 season ticket holders tickets to this game in
yes.
LA, meaning
35,000 season ticket holders bought tickets to the game.
I mean, that should be
more
a
than
packed LA.
Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, most of these people are probably reasonably wealthy, meaning that if they were affected by the fires, they probably would want to get out of there anyway. And maybe all are already out of there, and in Arizona, they may have second homes in Arizona. Who knows? I don't know.
And the Patriots did hire Mike Vrabel as their new head coach. Teddy Bruschi sounding like this is a return to having one guy at the top really running the show, maybe?
First of all, let me say this. Gerard didn't get the chance to return to that, okay? He didn't get the chance. He didn't get that second year with all of those great things that this organization has with the cap space, the players, and the quarterback, okay? Vrabel is not Bill. I'll tell you that right now, all right? He is somewhere along that spectrum in between.
So that's a reaction from a former teammate.
Meaning what, like not great or well, not as...
I would go by what Taylor Lewan said, because maybe Teddy hasn't seen Mike in a coaching situation. I'm not sure. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. You remember, they were close teammates, and they were all part of those three Super Bowls, in 4 years. But I will, Taylor Lewan basically said, keep your head on a swivel if you're a player. It's not going to be easy. He's going to call you out, but at the end of the day, you're going to end up loving him.
I thought he said, keep your buttholes tight.
Yeah, he said that too. Keep your head in a swivel.
All those,
keep your
all those things tight. That you said, I did not hear. I saw keep your butthole.
Yeah,
tight.
Of course, I know what you were hearing.
I wasn't expecting to hear that. The Knicks beat the Bucks 140-106. Jalen Brunson had 44 points on 16 of 26 shooting. Karl Anthony Towns had 30 and 18. Here was Brunson on MSG saying, "Just doing his thing."
Oh no, I'm just going out there playing, having fun. I got the confidence of my teammates and coaches, and they make everything possible.
And they got a nice contribution off the bench too from Cameron Payne, who had 18 points. The Knicks now 26-14 as they bounce back from that loss Friday night at home against Oklahoma City. They will be home for the Pistons coming up later tonight. The Nets, meantime, lost to the Jazz in Utah in overtime, 112-111. Isaiah Collier, a career high 23+. The go-ahead layup with 2 seconds to go in overtime. Brooklyn has dropped 5 in a row. Pacers beat the Cavaliers 108-93. Snapping Cleveland's 12-game winning streak. Lakers and Clippers with home games tonight. You've got the Lakers taking on the Spurs, the Clippers playing the Heat, and it's with everything happening in L.A. And college basketball tonight on The Fan at 6:15, Rutgers and UCLA.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. I had to bring this up to you because I thought this was hilarious. We both know this guy. He's been in studio with us, and it is Sean Avery, former New York Ranger and to former LA King. He was obviously a antagonist.
Lightning rod.
One of the most hated players if you were going against him in the NHL while he was playing. So there's this great series that they do. It's Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette, two former NHL guys, if you know NHL, and they do this thing called Sandbagger, where they'll go out and play golf against other hockey players and celebrities.
Now, this is their spitting chicklets.
That's right. So they're playing. They decide to take on Bissonnette and Whitney decide to take on Sean Avery and Kevin Connolly of Entourage. So Sean Avery has just gotten into jujitsu. So he's sitting there, he's in great shape and everything, and he's gotten into jujitsu. If you follow him on social media, you know that's what he's doing. So Bissonnette goes, he goes, "Aves," he's like, what made you get into jujitsu? And he goes, "Because that a-hole Luke Robitaille banned me from every sheet of ice in the state of California." So I'm like, what? So then he goes on to tell the story. So he's playing in some men's league, and there's there's some kid who's like, I don't know, 21 or 22, and he scored, I guess, his fourth goal of the game. So he goes up and goes to the opposing bench with a four like this when he skates by him, and Sean Avery sticks his stick into his skates and has the guy flip up into the air and land down.
By the way, I'm on Sean Avery's side on this one. I don't care. I am, because I've been in that same situation.
And he just went off about this. He goes, oh, apparently his mom is like some sort of bigwig or something. Everybody's like, oh, could you do that to a kid? He's not an effing kid. He was like 20-something years old. Give me a break. So he's like, so I had to do something. He's like, I wasn't going to leave California. I had to do something, so I can't play hockey. I decided to get into jujitsu. I mean, they banned him for life on every sheet of ice in the state of California. It's so on brand
but
for him.
Yeah, it is on brand for him, but, to have that kid do this whole four thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's jackassery right there.
Oh, of course.
Dealt with.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, so I kind of feel like I'm on Sean's side, if in fact that's the accurate story.
Well, it is. There's video of it.
Oh, there is.
Okay. Yeah, so they played during this episode, they played the video of Sean doing that and the kid skating by and then Sean going, boom.
And I guess Luke Robitaille is the one that is
I guess
controlling all the ice, the sheets of ice out there in L.A.?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Maybe there's only a handful of sheets of ice out there in L.A.
There,
I don't know.
Right, there could be, but I just thought that story was absolutely incredible and very much on brand for Sean Avery, who is that guy is, you've been saying it, somebody needs to hire him to be on TV.
I don't know why he's not a part of Barstool, actually.
It's a good point.
He would be like the John Gruden of hockey for Barstool, along with Bissonette and Whitney.
Yeah, well, those guys are there.
I don't know if they'd want him to be a part of all of that, because he could throw a monkey wrench into things, that's for sure.
What do you think we should do?
Yeah, this is...
Remember he was patrolling the streets in New York?
So these are the clips that Eddie is playing. So he had his bike, and anybody was in the bike lane, he would attack and record it on his Instagram stories. And it was just amazing. Amazing content.
So do you see the initial effects of congestion pricing yet?
I do, actually.
So ridership is up on the LIRR. Ridership is up on the MTA, Metro North, the subways. Traffic is down, certainly below 60th Street. But I would say that businesses are adversely affected. It feels that way. It feels like restaurants now are trying to figure out a way, once again, to overcome a man-made problem.
Yeah. Well, what about... fewer people are coming into the city to eat?
It feels that way. It feels like there are... Businesses are going to be negatively affected below 60th Street. And above 60th Street becomes a war zone because everybody's looking for parking.
Yeah, so me coming in earlier I shaved off like 6 or 7 minutes from my commute, which I know people are like, oh, a big deal, but it feels like a big deal. So it used to be an hour and 3 minutes. I'm getting in 57 minutes or less.
Yeah, I just think that the initial foray into this thing is having the intended effect that they want. You know, they want more people on mass transit so they can fill some of the gaps in financially there.
And there's fewer people on the roads going home. Now, I know I'm traveling at a time where not a lot of people are commuting back home to begin with.
I think it's still January. I think there's probably, you know, normally this is like a light time of year. I mean, because kids are in school, and especially when we're driving.
I'm getting home quicker, though. I'll tell you that much.
Because you're getting out of the city quicker.
I am, yeah. I'm getting out of the city quicker. There's just now the LIE's still got construction in certain areas, but I do feel like there's fewer people on the roads, and I have been getting in before 5 o'clock to have a 225 toll as opposed to the $9 toll.
You pay income tax, you pay gas tax, you pay state tax, you pay property tax. I mean,
yeah. You sound like you were dying during that. What are the words you said? So Perloff back there, this guy, he comes in and he's like, you really going to get up early to avoid the tax? You know, from Andrew Perloff down from Infinity Sports Network. I'm like, yeah, of course I am. I'm like, I don't want to give the state any more money. He's like, oh, you know, he's like, I talked to my wife about it. I decided I'm going to do that too. He lasted 2 days. 2 days he got in before the thing, and now he's just showing up at the same old time. You know, You gotta have that intestinal fortitude, man. You gotta get up. You gotta do it. Every time my alarm goes off, I picture Kathy Hochul's face, and I don't hit the snooze, and I pop right out of bed, and I go, "Screw you!"
You got to believe the parking garages down here are losing money, but the parking garages north of 60th Street, are making money.
Yeah, we should have thought of that and invested in like an Icon parking garage above 60th Street. We should have been on top of that before it happened. But I bet you somebody was all over that.